Today we're going to go in to a message, part two of Wilderness Complaints. Why is this important? Because we're in the flesh. We tend to complain a lot sometimes when things aren't going our way, when things we feel should be done a little bit differently, when we just don't agree with how things are done or how things are going. Things should be different. Things can be different. Well, we have lessons in Scripture to learn from. And one of those lessons is, which is not to follow, are the wilderness complaints. And so we're going to take a look at the wilderness complaints. There's 10 of them. We're going to look at the lessons and applications, and this is going to be part two. So let's go into Romans 15:4 and find out what Paul says. He says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of Scriptures we might have hope." What do you mean? What does he mean? The perseverance and, you know, encouragement of the Scriptures? Well, there's promises that are assured. There was encouragement in that Caleb and Joshua and others went into the promised land. But for those that sinned against Yahweh, they missed the mark, they transgressed Yahweh's instructions, they didn't have faith, they had unbelief, in fact. You know, it all kind of ties in together. They were a disappointment to Yahweh. And we're to learn from that. We're to learn not to repeat that type of history. But it's easy for us to repeat that because we're still in the flesh. However, we have Yahweh's Spirit, so we are encouraged by the promises handed down to us that we have an inheritance, that we have a reward, that we have hope, unlike those that fell in the wilderness. They had hope too, but they failed because of their disobedience. Again, we're to learn from that. But we know the promises of Yahweh's Word and that we have what we have in the Messiah today. And we know not to do what is wrong, but rather what is right. And we know not to test Yahweh and are reminded through the Word the consequences of doing so. Last time we looked at four tests. And I should preface this with the idea that these are what I've found. It's not to say that they are the 10. Yahweh says they tested him 10 times. Well, from what I could see, these are the 10 times that happened. One, at the Red Sea. Two, at Marah, those bitter waters. Three, in the wilderness of sin. And four, the instructions concerning manna. Now, as we move on here, we kind of transition from the manna over to the Sabbath as being a problem for the Israelites to obey. Is the Sabbath a problem for us to obey? Last time, we talked about a couple who broke the Sabbath. One went to jail. I think it was direct punishment by Yahweh to get his attention. Another one who needed encouragement and put me in front of him a second time to say what I had thought to I should have said the first time. And so we look at the spiritual workings, the things that are going on, the things that are unseen. We're told to look for these things. What does that mean? Well, it means to recognize that this physical life is not it, that there is a spiritual world that is unseen, but you can see it. How are we to understand that? Well, we can see it by the workings thereof. Remember the verse that talks about, you know, the Spirit is like the wind. You can't really see it, but you see the effects from it. And we see the effects from Spirit of Yahweh working within our lives. We can see it individually. We can see it collectively. We can see it in the faithfulness of individuals that are continuing to walk in the way, even though everyone else around them fails to see it. But we see it because we see the spiritual, the attributes of the Spirit, the things that are going on, and we produce the attributes of the Spirit as we walk in the Spirit. And so it's interesting to think about these things, not just, you know, watch a movie like Star Trek and think, oh, what a nice thing it would be to actually, you know, be a spirit being one of these days and then be able to, you know, go out in through the universe. We are experiencing the Spirit today, seeing the active role of the Spirit within our lives, and things that are occurring are very evident as having been, you know, brought about by Yahweh's Spirit. So, just wanted to bring that up. But the main point of all this is for what? Because we know we do it, we know we see it, so we need to, what? We need to stop complaining. But it's the flesh. And Paul said, you know, things I want to do, I don't do. The very things I don't want to do, that's the very thing I do. He was expressing the struggle that he had within himself, the struggle that we ourselves have within ourselves, because our flesh wants to have its own way. But we need to master the flesh. We need to master our thoughts, the thoughts that lead to disobedience. And so we want to be obedient children, not disobedient children. Why? Because there's consequences of being disobedient. Numbers 14, 22 through 23. Surely all the men who have seen my glory, my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet you have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. Okay, they saw his glory, saw his signs, performed them, but they put him to the test, did not listen, they spurned him. We have to be careful because we recognize Yahweh's Spirit working. We recognize the spiritual. If we don't control ourselves and stop complaining, I mean, we have things that we need to do. If we have a problem with a brother, we are instructed, Matthew 18:15, go to your brother, get it resolved. There is to be peace in all the assemblies. Paul said there was peace in the assemblies. And he saw that, but he also saw difficulties. He saw the difficulties at Corinth and other areas. But he had praise for other assemblies because their works went before them. And we trust that our works will follow us as we move forward to the kingdom. But number five, going into complaints, troubles, sin essentially, it all works together, it seems. We have the instructions concerning the Sabbath, number five. And this goes directly from the manna, which they didn't do what they should have done with that concerning the instructions. Now here's instructions concerning the fourth commandment. And the complaint was Exodus 16:22-24. Now on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread. This bread, of course, was a, and this is actually lechem is the word, but it's referring to that manna. It was a sweet type of tasting bread that they had, and they lived off that. It sustained them. Of course, there's a spiritual application in which the word sustains us, whether or not we eat physical food. We are sustained spiritually by the spiritual food that we find in the Word. That's why we have to continue in it. Someone mentioned that we should have some Bible studies. I agree. It's been a while since we've had any, and because, you know, it hasn't been that many here. Sometimes there's two or three here. But where Yahweh, well, where Yahshua had said in Scripture that, you know, where two or three are gathered together, there he is, you know, in presence, you know. So we understand that there's not going to be many of us, and at times there are, we see only a couple in a house worshiping. So this is what we find, you know, one from a city, two from a family, as prophesied in Jeremiah. For our time today, we see it in action. We see Yahweh's Spirit in action. We see prophecy being fulfilled. Many call, but few are chosen. But going through, continuing in Exodus 16, 22 through 24, let me just restart. Now on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, manna, two omers for each one. When all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said to them, this is what Yahweh meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. Bake what you will bake, boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, put aside to be kept until morning. So they put it aside until morning, as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. Continuing on in verse 25 through 30, Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to Yahweh. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. And it came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out and gathered, but they found none. And then Yahweh said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments? Now, this is a point in time in which Yahweh really starts to get upset. Sabbath is a foundational truth that we find in scriptures. It was set apart from the beginning. There really is no excuse. And yet people come up with excuse after excuse. I'm sorry, I don't mean to get upset about it, but I see it. I see it within brethren. It shouldn't be that way. I mean, we don't go out and eat bacon, do we? Well, maybe turkey bacon, but not pork. How can we justify, you know, abstaining from pork, but then breaking the Sabbath? It doesn't make sense. And there are other things that we sometimes have problems with. We need to overcome these problems. We need to put them in the past and bury them. They should have been buried at baptism. Why are we not fulfilling the commission that we're given? The commission that we're given is from the beginning. You know, the whole duty of man is to observe the commandments of Yahweh, to walk in them. And of course, we have the understanding that we are to promote the word, go forth, share, talk about the coming kingdom. But as already mentioned, you know, we go back and we see the message was repent, stop sinning, produce fruits worthy of repentance. What does that mean? It means stop sinning, do what is right. We shouldn't have to necessarily go over all this, but I find that we're having to because we see disobedience at times, and we're to deal with that. We are to put the individual out that is sinning. We are to better ourselves. We are to grow in grace and knowledge of the Savior who didn't sin. So his example is for us. He said to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. So we have to study, determine what is right versus what is wrong, live it, and then experience Yahweh's Spirit, because it produces fruit when we are in obedience to him and when we lean on his understanding rather than our own. Going back to Exodus 16:25, it says, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? Not just the Sabbath, his instructions overall. See, verse 29, see, Yahweh has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remain every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Let no man go out. Now, you know, that's not justification for us not to leave our homes on the Sabbath to come to services. This was a restriction put on them, just like closing the gate that Nehemiah imposed on the people because they kept sinning. And they had come back from Babylonian captivity. What were they thinking? They're doing commerce. Well, it's not wrong to buy and sell on the Sabbath. Yes, it is. Hello? It's wrong to do commerce on the Sabbath. We find that in the scriptures. And so that's why we need to know what the scriptures say. We need to put in practice what it tells us and what they, capital T, H-E-Y, they, Yahweh, Yahshua, tell us to do. Now, the blessing here, of course, was they received a double portion on the sixth day. Doesn't he do that for the sabbatical as well? I mean, before the Jubilee? These things are in effect and are given for those who are obedient to him. But the lesson and application for us is, you know, in thinking about the manna portions provided on the sixth day and how Israel went out on the Sabbath looking for more, do we ever think Yahweh doesn't give us our fair share? They had enough. They would have collected enough, and yet they went out seeking more. What, did they gorge themselves and then decided, I'm hungry, I want more. So they go out and get more? Well, we know there are a lot of people starving in the world. Do we consider how well we have it? There are areas in the world and where they have to put their fist within their stomach to stop the stomach pains from lack of food. Sometimes they don't get to eat except once every day, once every 2 days at times. This is going on in the world. This went on during the Holocaust, during World War II. They described this very thing, how through the starvation process they would have to put their fist up into the upper part of their stomach to stop the pain of starving. We got it pretty good. We want it better, it seems. We're willing to work on the Sabbath. Well, we're not here because we're here. But there are some that are not here, and I'm afraid it's because they've decided to go ahead and work on the Sabbath. Don't get me wrong, this is a very small minority within the many, actually the few, because when we look at the numbers, it's not that many that are really following the way, the pattern of Yahweh's word. In fact, I started to listen to, now this is Yahweh's spirit in effect. I saw it as Yahweh's spirit in effect, in that I started to watch a video of an individual that used to be in the faith. He got a sacred name Bible. He started using Yahweh's name, Yahshua's name, started keeping the law. Was originally a Jew, not Messianic, became Messianic, started understanding the truth. But then he started to reject it. It's one thing he didn't like, so he rejected that, and it was just a domino effect. Anyway, what happened is somehow I lost the video, and I tried to get it back. Well, once I got back, I started listening again, and the power went out. And I thought, well, Yahweh must not want me to watch this. Why? Because things like that upset me. I recognize things like that upset me, and I recalled coming here when I was upset, and I didn't give as good a message as I wanted to because I was upset. That's why I don't check my emails before I come up here, because I've done that before, because there are some that just rail on us for, you know, keeping that old Mosaic law, and you legalistic Mosaic law keepers, you know, and they're blind, but it's still upsetting to listen or read or recognize that people are just rejecting Yahweh's way of life. That's all this is Yahweh's way of life. And I shouldn't just say that's all it is. This is a lifestyle, but it leads into eternal life, and that's a big deal. Should be a big deal for everyone. You know, it's not the hearers of the law, it's the doers that'll be justified. Now, wait a minute, we're justified in the Messiah. Yes, we are. We're also to obey the law, and that's why that's written as it is. I did watch a good video where the individual goes over, and I was curious because I thought maybe he was rejecting Paul's writings, but he wasn't. He was actually pointing out, you know, Paul was against homosexuality, Paul was against stealing, Paul was against lying, and you know, the question was, are we to not commit these sayings because Paul said it or because the law says it. Because he gave what Paul said and then what the law says. What Paul said and what the law says. What Paul says and what the law says. Well, the answer is we're to do what the law says. Not just because Paul said it. I thought it was well done. So I gave it a thumbs up. And so, but the other, evidently Yahweh didn't want me to watch that because he cut the power out. Does he have the power to do that? I think he does. You know, we have angels looking out for us. They know us, and they know what we need. All right. So, let's go on here. In this passage of Exodus 16, we see Yahweh gets really angry with the people with this fifth testing. And we know Yahweh is merciful, forgiving, kind, but continuing to disrespect him by not following his instructions is a sure way to bring his anger, wrath, his punishment, which is discipline, essentially, for us. So, you know, if you're breaking the Sabbath and then you go to, you know, for years, and then you go to jail for 10 years, maybe it's time to think about your life and what you've been doing. So it's obvious to me that Yahweh is trying to help an individual in that situation. And that's an actual situation that has happened, so I don't take it lightly. You know, the Holy Spirit is something given to us as a comforter. It's also given to us as like a, not to restrict us, but as a guide for us, like a rail. You know, a rail that's on the edge of a cliff is there for the purpose of keeping you from going over the cliff and dying. Well, the Holy Spirit is active and functioning within our lives to help guide us. Ministering angels are to help guide us. Yahshua, if we're following, is guiding us. Yahweh is guiding us. The purpose for this is to act like, you know, the closing of the gate on the Sabbath or the zitzits, for example, which were pointing to the law. These were not the law, the commandments, but they were to help. We have a helper today in Messiah. We have a helper today with the Spirit. And so we have to consider that help. And if we push past that help, then none of the other helps are going to be a help at all. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't do what you need to do to be obedient. It's just that, well, you know, we're given a Spirit and we need to adhere to that Spirit, be in line with what that Spirit would have of us. And that Spirit is going to be in line with the Word. But the Israelites didn't have the Spirit, but they had plenty of instructions, but they failed miserably without the Spirit. Number six, at Rephidim, root meaning means to spread out or refresh. They were again thirsty. They were getting upset to the point of wanting to stone Moses. And going into Exodus 17, 1 through 4, then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of Yahweh, and camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test Yahweh?" So even Moses at this time is recognizing this is a test against Yahweh. But the people thirsted for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, "Why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" And you can imagine the inflection in their voice as they're speaking this to Moses. They're speaking it with anger. They're speaking it with fervence. Fervent spirit is regrettably the wrong spirit, the wrong attitude. Spirit can be related to attitude when we look in Scripture. Their attitude was wrong. So Moses cried out to Yahweh, saying, "What shall I do with this people? A little more and they will stone me." He saw the attitude. He recognized what was going on. They were getting all upset. And here he is. What do I do with these people? Well, do we forget what Yahweh has done for us in the past? It's interesting that they complain about not having water again. They knew Yahweh had provided before. Did they forget already? Is this all Manasseh? Forgetfulness? You know, they just couldn't remember. They knew Yahweh had provided. Shouldn't they have realized he would provide again? Do we ever push to get our way? Do we get angry when we don't get our way right away? Remember that bumper sticker, Yahweh, give me patience right now? So we need to trust. We need to be patient. We need to remember Yahweh's interventions in the past. We need to look at the Spirit and how that's at work within us individually, collectively, within our lives, making things work out the way Yahweh would have them work out. And when we face trouble, trials, we must recognize at those times, I think more than others, that Yahweh has a purpose for all of it. And though it seems like a fiery trial, there's a purpose. And we know Yahweh has our good in mind. So we have to consider that he must be working on our character, wants us to grow in some area, and that we need to buckle down and essentially take the low road. You know, Yahweh resists the proud. We shouldn't be standing up and trying to gain our own way when it's not Yahweh's will. And so a lot of times when we pray, we have to remember, "Thy will be done." Just as Joshua set the example in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, "You know, you've given me this cup. You know, I'd really like you to take it away, but if it's your will, I'll accept it." And so he set the example for us. Sometimes we don't like some of the things that go on in our lives, but there's a reason. There's testing, trials. There's character building. There are blessings. And the blessing, you know, here was they were given water from the rock. And in addition, another enemy was again destroyed before them. Exodus 17:8-13. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on top of the hill with a staff of Elohim in my hand." And Joshua, son of Nun, did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hands up that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now there's a number of things in here we could look at. Lifting up the, why would that matter? The hands going up? I'm not sure exactly, but you know, we come before Yahweh and, you know, we extend our hands out as like children desiring to be pleasing to our Father. We can be like asking for requests. We could be showing our hands to be clean before him, you know, striving to overcome, humbling ourselves. And so maybe that's part of the lesson here, that we are to humble ourselves and Yahweh will give us victory, because we know that as we humble ourselves, Yahweh will lift us up. It's told to us in Scripture. So, but Yahweh has an interesting way of dealing with us at times. For the Israelites at this time, they were ready to stone Moses. I mean, they were angry. They were ready to, he saw that they were ready to stone him. They must have been given him the, over in Hawaii, it's called stink eye. They were giving him an evil eye. Like they're going to, you know, do something to him if they get the chance. Well, Yahweh provided a way to get their frustration out by giving them a war, essentially, with the Amalekites. Got that frustration out of them so that they would have been tired and they wouldn't have sought after Moses. And they were given victory, so they saw that, again, Yahweh was with them. And didn't they see this before? Don't we see this, that Yahweh is with us? If we're looking, if we recognize the history from the time that we made the dedication to Yahweh, we'll see it. And we'll know that He is with us. And that for whatever reason we're going through what we're going through, if it doesn't seem that good to us, it's for a purpose, to bless us, to test us. Does Yahweh not say that He tests us? Does not the example even here give us the knowledge that He wants us to rely on Him, not on ourselves? I think so. At Horeb, another test. Test number 7. The mountain range that Mount Sinai was a part of. Yahweh at this point starts to seriously punish. I mean, He got pretty angry earlier with the Sabbath. Now He's going to seriously punish the Israelites for their disobedience. They became utterly corrupt with idol worship. Idol worship, Egyptian style. Exodus 32:7-10. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, "Go down at once, for your people," kind of reminds you of the, like a family unit, the mother says to the father, "Deal with your son, will you? Because he's being a problem." Well, here, Yahweh says, "Go down at once, for your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf, have worshipped it, and have sacrificed to it, saying, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' Yahweh said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now then, let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation.'" And does Yahweh not have that ability to do that? Then Yahshua, something about turning the stones, the stones would cry out. Yahweh has the ability to do whatever He would like. So it's important for us to pay attention to what He says to do, so that we don't get on His bad side, so that we don't displease Him, so that we honor Him, fear Him, respect Him. And how do we do that? By doing what He says. Simple enough, but people want to do what they want to do, and they're going to learn a hard lesson, because we know that tribulation is coming, and we know why it's coming. We know it's because of the sins of the world. Sins against Yahweh. Going on, Exodus 32:25-28. "Now when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them out of control to be a derision among their enemies, then Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, 'Whoever is for Yahweh, come to me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. He said to them, 'Thus says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, every man of you put his sword on his thigh and go back and forth from the gate to gate in the camp and kill every man his brother, every man his friend, every man his neighbor.' So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day." You think He was wanting to get their attention? Yeah, I believe so. You know, the blessing in all of this is all of Levi came to Moses' side, Yahweh's side. They were allowed to live and serve. In Exodus 32:29 says, "Then Moses said, 'Dedicate yourselves today to Yahweh, for every man has been against his son and against his brother, in order that He may bestow a blessing upon you today.'" you know, when we come in, we're coming in with neighbors, we're coming in with family, we're coming in with friends, because Yahweh takes one from a city, two from a family, and, you know, it can take some time. I know of one elder who had a friend of 25 years, took 25 years of talking to him, being kind to him, being gentle, not too pushy, but yet still giving the word, sharing, you know, take a look at this study that was written, tell me what you think about it, watch this DVD, you know, come on over, let's have a Bible study. 25 years, he was convicted, was baptized, and now he's sharing the word with others. So we don't want to push people away. We don't want to just, they're condemned because, you know, Yahweh's not calling them and they're just going along living their life the way they want to. Well, Yahweh has an appointed time for everyone. And our time is now, so we need to get our act together and prepare and help in sharing the word, doing what we need to do. But there's a lesson and application here for us. When we learn, or when we heard of Yahweh's calling, we readily accepted it, I think, for most part. I don't think it took 25 years, though maybe it did for some of us. But just like the Levites did when Moses called the people to Yahweh's side, they accepted it readily. Many of us do. I think the comparison is for us that, you know, the Levites, of course, came over to Yahweh. Well, those in Messiah come over to Yahweh. The Levites took up the sword with their brother, friend, neighbor. We took up the symbolic sword with our brothers, friends, and neighbors. Now, this works in a couple different ways. I mean, we share the word, which is a sword, word of Yahweh. But also, as brothers, friends, neighbors come in, we are actually working with them with the sword of Yahweh. So there's a couple different ways of looking at that. But the Levites, they were given the right to be directly involved with the work of Yahweh. That's under the Levitical priesthood. We are actually given the right to work directly and be directly involved with the work of Yahweh under the Melchizedek order. It's a little different. Some things are a little different, but for the most part, obedience is paramount. Of course, accepting Messiah's sacrifice is paramount for justification and doing what's right. So do we consider these things? Are we living our lives in such a way that, you know, not that we should boast, but if we're going to boast, shouldn't we boast in Yahweh? That is, for the knowledge and understanding and the blessings that he's given to us. Shouldn't we be sharing that in action and in a word with others? I think so. In doing so, you know, we're working towards Yahweh's goal of having unity and prosperity. And, you know, there's a lot of preachers that talk about prosperity. But we're rich in Messiah as we see Yahweh's Spirit working, as we know that all things are ours in him. All things. Nothing's going to be withheld. Everything has been given to Yahshua. Is he not our elder brother? Is not everything going to be given to us as well? So it's good for us to review these things, keep these things in mind, recognize that while things can be tough at times, there's something coming that is greater in scope and in magnitude than I think that we can really comprehend fully at this time. And even the Apostle Paul said, you know, the things he went through, didn't think they could be compared to what's coming. So he had his mind thinking correctly, and we are to have our mind thinking correctly, even though we recognize some of the things I want to do, I don't do, things I don't want to do, you know, because of this flesh, you know, attitude, you know, I say something out of, it's not a good note, you know. Well, we have to overcome. We have to, you know, work on ourselves and with fear and trembling. So it's not just something that we take lightly. It's with fear and trembling. And we should be convicted in our own minds of the things that we do. But we should also be able to come together, study, and get on the same page. Because would Yahweh have us all divided? But Yahshua did say he came not to bring peace, he came to bring a sword. Man would be at odds with his own family, these type of things. You know, to teach what we teach, we're going to be at odds with the world in general. If we are trying to keep peace with the world, we're going to be at odds with Yahweh. I mean, that's just the way it is. So we have to make sure that we're doing the right things according to Yahweh. Just like, was it Acts 8 where, you know, the disciples were told, you know, well, you can't keep teaching in this name. People are getting that way with us today. Oh, you semantics getting into this Yahshua stuff. Well, we're to proclaim the name. And we're to obey Yahweh rather than men. So we're given a choice, and we make choices every day. And hopefully we're making choices where we're putting our right foot in front of our left and left in front of the right and moving forward. Because ultimately we want to reach the promised land. We don't want to fall in the wilderness. And that's what can happen when we disrespect, dishonor, and choose man over Yahweh. Isn't that what happens when we tell an employer, okay, I'll work on the Sabbath? You're saying no to Yahweh. Don't say no to Yahweh. The Israelites said no to Yahweh, and you saw what happened to them. We read what happened to them. Another testing of Yahweh was at Taberah. It's interesting, we had water before, now we've got fire. Again, they complained, and Taberah basically means burning. But in Numbers 11, 1 through 3, we find the complaint here, or complaining. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of Yahweh. Does Yahweh hear us when we complain? Yahweh hears everything. And Yahweh heard it. His anger was kindled, and the fire of Yahweh burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. And the people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to Yahweh, and the fire died out. So the name of that place was Taberah, because the fire of Yahweh burned among them. Can the fire of Yahweh burn against us? Can our house burn down because we're not living a way that is pleasing to Yahweh? Is Yahweh trying to get our attention? I think so. I think we had better wake up to the fact that the spirit world is very real, that Yahweh's dealing with us is very real, and that breaking his law is a serious infraction of what he would have of us as a people. And we know that he loves us, so there's going to be discipline, there's going to be punishment to get our attention, to wake us up, to get us stronger. Because if we're weak in an area, maybe we need to be slapped upside the head so that we get stronger and avoid that which is evil. And we are to avoid evil, the appearance of evil, evil itself, what's in the world. Lots and lots of evil. Because this is a fallen world. This is a world ruled by Satan. Now, it's only for a time. We know it's being allowed. We need to understand that it's not going to endure. And so we need to prepare our thinking, our attitude, and everything for what's coming, because this life is passing. We're getting older. We'll eventually die. Hopefully the Messiah will come back before that time, but If we're in him when we die, then we will be raised up with him. That is the promise. It's a guarantee. Yahweh's word is true. So there's no reason why we can't rely on it. But just going, you know, thinking about the word, Ezekiel 18 tells us that, you know, we can start out doing good, but if we, in the end, curse him or start living our lives the way we want to, not the way he wants us to, then we can lose out. That everything that we did, that we thought was good, which I think we're doing pretty good, and I think it is good, if we give this up, then it's all for nothing for us. And so we're not to give up. So the encouragement is to stay with it. Stay focused. Look up. Don't look down. Don't look back. Look forward. Look to the spiritual. Focus on spiritual things. And it's hard at times because we're in the flesh. But we're to overcome the flesh. We are to master the flesh. The blessing was they cried out for help and the fire stopped. You know, when we make mistakes, and we will, what should our first reaction be? When we go back, we see instances where Moses and Aaron fell down on their faces to Yahweh. That should be our first response when we recognize that we're in error. And breaking the Sabbath, I'll just use that because that's a pretty big one, because it's in black and white. There's really no question on how we should live our lives. You know, some people do ask about, you know, what do I do on the Sabbath? Well, what does the word say? Holy convocation, gathering, set apart, no servile work. You know, it can help an ox in the ditch type of situation, those arise. Not to do commerce, buy and sell on the Sabbath. Don't treat it like a regular day. There's 6 days to work. There's a day to rest. Yahweh's pretty serious about it. We should be as well. But it's a bit of a test command for us, because we have to give up something. We have to give up money. We have to give up, you know, other activities. Might be the only time that this jazz group plays, you know, in our area. It happens to be Saturday. We don't want to miss that, but do we obey man or obey Yahweh? Do we forsake Yahweh or, you know, do our own pleasure? You know, we're talking about, was it Isaiah 58, not doing our own pleasure? I was looking at that. I mean, we're looking at maybe that's atonement, but it looks like any Sabbath. Atonement is a Sabbath. It's a special day in the sense that it's a fast. Still a Sabbath. When you look down in through Leviticus 23, you're looking at holy convocation, Sabbath, in the sense of resting on that day. And you know, the word is there. It's pretty clear as far as what is to be done, what's not to be done. So, you know, lesson application is don't complain, don't sin, live our lives as examples for others. You know, our first reaction should be when we see something that's wrong is to apologize to Yahweh and to make that relationship right, because that's the relationship that really counts. We are to be, you know, with our families, with our friends, with our neighbors, but ultimately it's from the top down as far as how relationships should be. Should be Yahweh first and foremost. We have the complaint of the rabble and the Israelites. Now, who are the rabble? Well, it's a mixed multitude, essentially, is the wording. They were foreigners that came out. It wasn't just Israelites that came out. There's other peoples that came out, Egyptians and others that came out from Egypt. They didn't like what they were seeing in Egypt, so they thought, well, this is a better plan. Better take it. Better long-term rewards. Numbers 11, 4 through 6. The rabble who were among them had greedy desires. And also the sons of Israel wept again, said, well, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna. You know, some of those coming in and being baptized think everything is going to be just rosy and great. It's not that way. Not all the time. I mean, there are good things. There is a blessing. We are, there's a love, a fervent desire, being moved by the Spirit to do everything that Yahweh says. And then troubles come in, and there's a name for, I've heard this before, fair-weathered brethren. What are fair-weathered brethren? Fair-weathered brethren are brethren who can't take the heat when it gets hot in the kitchen, so to speak. You know, so they say, get out of the kitchen if you can't take the heat. We're not to get out of the kitchen because there's a reason the heat's been turned up. We are to go before Yahweh, pray about it, and recognize that not my will, but your will be done. Try to work out whatever the problem is. Again, a lot of the problems are with ourselves, and so we have to follow Yahshua's admonition, and I'll repeat it again. It's Matthew 18:15. Go to your brother, resolve it. If you can't, bring someone else in as a witness, a couple others as a witness, two or three witnesses. And if that doesn't work, then take it before the assembly, you know, before the elders, before the body. If need be, disfellowship. There's steps to take. There's ways of keeping peace. It's not just leaving. And that's not to say that brethren who leave are not, you know, they're leaving Yahweh. They'll just go to another assembly at times, and that's okay. It'd be better, I think, if they would stay and work out the issues. But, you know, it's in Yahweh's hands. I just bring up the idea that we should try to work things out. But, you know, here's this complaining. The rabble got the Israelites riled up. Yeah, we had leeks and onions and different good things, cucumbers. Okay, let's have all that. Let's go back to Egypt. Well, you know, sometimes we are for want, but what did Paul teach? We know he taught the law, but what else did he teach? He taught that for himself, he was able to be at peace in any situation that he found himself in. That's where we need to be. And it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. We would like things to happen overnight at times, like that bumper sticker, you know, give me patience right now. We desire what we desire. But we're in need of endurance, the word also tells us. And so if we stick with things, if we have the right attitude, like Caleb, like Joshua, obedience to Yahweh's word and having that relationship as a focus, we can maintain and grow and overcome. And as the overcomers that will receive all the rewards that are promised, even eternal life. But the complaint here brought about a blessing. Now, Yahweh is, he recognizes the hardness and the trouble that they were in Egypt, the years and years of hardship, and that he was patient with them, helping them. And Yahweh looks at our background and I think deals with us each accordingly. But with them and with us, I mean, he gives us blessings as well. He also disciplines us, helps us to understand so that we can grow. But he gives them a blessing, but he's still upset with them. And notice what he says. Numbers 11:18-20. Say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the ears of Yahweh, saying, oh, that someone would give us meat to eat. For we were well off in Egypt. Therefore, Yahweh will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, not 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you. Because you have rejected Yahweh, who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? They rejected Yahweh by their weeping and wanting to go back to Egypt and complaining as they did. Do we do that? Do we get the idea in our heads sometimes that, well, I can just go and do my own thing, and you know, I don't really need to do this anymore? Be careful, because you're following in the path of the ancient Israelites who fell in the wilderness. And we can fall in this wilderness spiritually. Yahweh has called us out, is working with us, is building up a family, so that we can be a part of the coming kingdom as spirit beings, be a part of the family in ways that we have yet to completely understand. And things are, you know, we're limited, but the promises are there. We can see in black and white what is promised. And we can understand that there is a greatness coming that we cannot fully appreciate at this time. But we are still promised that it is coming. The lesson application for us is a little leaven. Leaven's a whole lump. The rabble's greed seemed to affect the Israelites to the extent that it did. But you know, today we are bombarded with commercials, TV, radio ads, ads in the paper, signs on the major freeways, even going to the Feast of Tabernacles, which is coming up here shortly. You know, sometimes it's the influence around us we need to be on alert about. Doesn't Scripture say, don't be deceived, bad company corrupts good character? We need to limit our exposure as much as we can. We need to avoid evil, plain and simple. They, the people, kept looking to the physical rather than the spiritual. They kept looking back to Egypt rather than the promised land ahead of them. They were given so much quail, it made them sick. Be careful what you ask for, because you might just get it. Sometimes we think what we want will make us happy, and it doesn't. I listened to an individual who was testifying about his life, and he had everything, basically a rock star. And he had everything that he thought he wanted, and yet in the end, he wanted to end his life, because it was just void and empty. So be careful. A life away from Yahweh is not a life at all. It's emptiness. So we are to focus on the spiritual. Look forward. Look to the coming kingdom. Look to New Jerusalem. And be content with the riches we now have in Messiah Yahshua. And be like Paul, and be at peace, understanding that however we find ourselves, whether we're putting our fists in our stomach because we're hungry, or that, you know, we're sitting at a table and we have a banquet, however we find ourselves, by the way, that banquet is forthcoming. That is a promise in the kingdom. But however we find ourselves now, we should be content. We should recognize that we are in the place that we are in because it's Yahweh's will. If it was Yahweh's will otherwise, we would be in another place. But Yahweh knew exactly what would be spoken today. He knew exactly where you would be sitting. He knew exactly the difficulties that you would be experiencing. And they are difficult at times. And what attitudes are we shown which are good? Well, Job had everything taken away from him at a time, and he was considered a righteous man. And what did he say? He said, well, Yahweh giveth, Yahweh taketh away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. That should be our attitude. That should be the attitude that we have, rather than, I want to go back to Egypt. This is ridiculous. I don't want to do this anymore. That can, you know, and it's small little steps that can lead us to that. What I'm telling you today is don't take those steps. If you find yourself in that situation, take yourself down before Yahweh, humble yourself, pray, fast if needed, and ask Yahweh to give you strength. Because it's an awful thing to find yourself in the end. I imagine it's an awful thing to find yourself in the end, having rejected Yahweh, and then having Yahweh reject you. Because ultimately there are going to be those that, well, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? And Yahshua's own words are, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. So again, we come back to the idea of law keeping. And why is that such a problem for people? They don't want to be told what to do. They want to do their own thing. It's this flesh. They're walking in the flesh rather than in the spirit. So our focus should be in the spirit, in Yahweh's word, in what Yahweh would have of us, because Yahweh has good intent for us. He has good things in mind for us. And if we can understand that, it's helpful to understand that, because if we do, we'll know that we can walk in his instructions and be blessed, and, you know, be comforted with the knowledge of what he has for us. And I speak this as much to myself as to you, to do Yahweh's will, and living a life that's pleasing to him. All right, where are we? Wow, that was the last. No, we're on to the last one. Number 10, at Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea. Basically means consecrated. As you recall, they went into the promised land and they lost hope because they saw these forces that they didn't think that they could overcome. Numbers 14, 1 through 6, and all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness? Why is Yahweh bringing us into this land? To fall by the sword, our wives, our little ones, will become plunder. They're already stating how it's going to be. Yahweh didn't have this in mind for them. They're putting words into Yahweh's mouth. Well, we're going to become plunder. Would it not have been better for us to return to Egypt? Verse 4, so they said to one another, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly and the congregation of the sons of Israel. What did they do? They fell on their faces before Yahweh and in the presence of the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. Yahshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. They couldn't believe what they were hearing. That, you know, what did we, you know, I can hear them thinking, you know, out loud, what did we go, didn't Yahweh feed us, gave us water, sustain us? Didn't he put the Egyptians down in the sea before our eyes? Numbers 14, 7 through 12. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If Yahweh is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against Yahweh. What's the one thing he wants from us? Not to rebel. They recognized it. They did his will. They followed his instructions. They entered into the promised land, as we know. What should our focus be? What should we be doing? We should be focusing on what Yahweh wants of us, to do those things which are pleasing to Him, to have our spirit in line with His spirit, have our goals and purpose and aspirations to be the same as Him and His Son. Verse 9, do not rebel against Yahweh. Do not fear the people of the land. You know, it reminds me of Psalm 23. You know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 10, but all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of Yahweh appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. Moses pleads for the people. Yahweh said to Moses, how long will this people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me? Do we have belief? Do we believe in Him? How long will they not believe in me? Despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst, I will smite them with pestilence and dispossess them, and I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they. Well, at this point, Yahweh had had enough. He said, no more. Numbers 14, 22 through 24, surely all the men who have seen my glory, my signs which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it. But my servant, Caleb, you want to be a servant? My servant, Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, and of course Joshua as well, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. What's the blessing? The blessing is that certain individuals that followed Yahweh wholeheartedly, that didn't follow after their own flesh, that didn't listen to others, that said, don't listen to Yahweh. They followed Him. They followed me fully, He says. They had a different attitude. They had a different spirit. They were able to go into the land along with those that were not of the age of accountability. The lesson and application for us. Our life can be spent on thinking and worrying about things not working out. We can wish it were better. We can wish it were different. Is this the attitude we are to have? Or alternatively, can we have the hope and courage of the likes of Joshua and Caleb? Yes. Of course we can. The lesson and application is clear for us. We, with Yahweh's Spirit, can have a patient and loving attitude towards others. We can set the right example. We can, with Yahweh's Spirit, be joyful and happy. We can trust that Yahweh will provide. We can have the attitude that, yes, we can go into the land. Yahweh has already promised us the land for us. You know, it's eternal life. It's a new Jerusalem that's coming. It's the coming kingdom is being there as spirit beings. That's the promise. Our names are already written in the book of life. What a blessed thing that is. Do we complain? Because we're in the flesh, I think we have the tendency to complain. But the message today is to stop complaining. Write down your blessings. Understand what Yahweh would have of you, what He would have of me. Let us encourage one another. Let us lift one another up to the calling, the expectation that we have in Messiah Yahshua, and the things promised for those that love Him and that love Yahweh. Numbers 14, 22 through 23, surely all the men who have seen my glory, my signs, which I performed in Egypt and the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times, and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it. For us, with Yahweh's Spirit, we risk eternal life by taking a bad attitude and testing Yahweh and complaining and bickering and sinning and going backwards into Egypt, essentially. Yahweh destroyed those who didn't believe. Jude 1:5 comments about this. He says, "Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that Yahweh, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe." We hear so much about believing and so much about not obeying because the world is blind. Don't let them discourage you. Don't let their ignorance and their foolishness be a stumbling block to you. What is unbelief? Is it just complaining? Can complaining lead to disobedience? It sure did for the Israelites. Their attitude was one of complacency when Yahweh instructed them. They had a bad attitude and led them right into sin. Unbelief was related to disobedience. We may not think that we test Yahweh with how we sometimes think, but that is an example we see in the Israelites. Yahweh himself says they tested him with their attitude towards his leaders, towards his instructions. They tested him with their attitude towards him, period. Do we ever do the same? It's a road best gotten off of if we ever find ourselves on it. It's important to understand that it's important that we understand disobedience really does equate unbelief. And those in Messiah were being taught this in the New Testament. Hebrews 3:7-12. "Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. And therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living Elohim." You notice how it says an unbelieving heart is essentially evil, an evil, unbelieving heart. They went astray. They did not know his ways. Do not harden your hearts. Continuing in verse 13 through 19, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today." Yeah, I don't know if we really understand just how bad things can get overnight. There's a lot of things going on. I thought about writing all the things down that are in the news right now. It's bad. Now, we're told certain things are going to happen. We don't have to worry, wars, rumors of wars and stuff. But you think, with some of the things we're hearing, you think some of these leaders are just out of their minds with some of the things that are going on, what they're saying and stuff. But, we're to pray for them, try to have as much peace as we can, try to live our lives in a decent, orderly manner. While we have time, reach out. But that time is eventually going to be halted by devastation. Now, I say halted, I don't think it'll necessarily be stopped. I think we're going to have to gather our thoughts and really come to grips that we're in the thick of it if it happens in our lifetime. But we see things going along, and I think it's quite possible we could see war in this country, civil war. I think it's quite possible that another country could try to send something over here, missile-wise, with a nuclear warhead. I mean, these are things you wouldn't think would happen, necessarily, but that's the reality that we find ourselves in. These things are of some concern. But we understand also that Yahweh is going to seal a certain amount of individuals for his purpose, that the angels are going to allow the winds of wrath to go forth, and that the reason for this is because of the sins of the world, because the world has disregarded Yahweh's ways. And it kind of goes back to Israel's example. I mean, he allowed it to go on for so long, and then he said, you know, enough is enough. And Yahweh is going to say enough is enough at some point in this world's future. But the good thing is that's going to pass, and there's going to be a glorious kingdom. There's going to be New Jerusalem. There's going to be beauty and joy and everlasting peace. And Yahweh himself will come down and wipe away every tear, and all the troubles will be no more. So we have to look past some of the troubles that we know are coming, but we need to know why they are coming. We need to share the truth with others, and also the reality that if you sin, you die. And the reason Yahshua came was to give us forgiveness of that death penalty and to get us back in a right relationship with our Heavenly Father, who we serve. And we are to serve him diligently and to have that relationship good in our lives. Hebrews 3:13-19, encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Messiah if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see, we understand, that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Repeat this to someone today who's not here, and they may scoff. But we're not scoffing. We recognize the seriousness of what is being said here. We understand the reality of what's going on in the world and how bad it is and how bad it's getting. And Yahweh may be ready to cut loose the strings that will cause such problems and trouble that I don't think we can fully comprehend just how bad it is. But we can look through Revelation and see what is coming. We know that it's coming. But with that, again, after all that, peace, prosperity, a beautiful kingdom, it's going to take time, but all that is going to be established. And New Jerusalem is going to come down. Yahweh is going to be, again, with his people. It's coming. And so what should our attitudes be right now? We need to work on our attitudes. I don't think mine is as good as it can be. I don't think yours necessarily is as good as it can be. I hear complaints. I complain at times. And I need to stop that. We need to stop that. Because Yahweh hears. Do we want to enter the promised land, the coming kingdom, New Jerusalem? We are the children of Yahweh, having come out of symbolic Egypt. The Spirit imparts the ability to be in the right attitude towards Yahweh. Let's not forget what happened to those who turned their backs and their hearts, literally their hearts, from him to go to Egypt. On the way to the promised land, do we complain about our finances, the weather, other people, our boss? Do we ever consider that we may very well be complaining against the Creator himself? Let's not put him to the test as ancient Israel did. There are better things for Yahweh's people today. Look up, look forward, look towards Yahweh and the coming kingdom, but never look back nor yearn to go back to Egypt. There's nothing there for us. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so as we focus on Yahweh's Spirit, as we focus on his word, as we see Yahweh moving within our lives, helping us overcome, you know, Israel saw the signs and the wonders and the glory of Yahweh. We are too today in the spiritual sense. We're seeing all that. We're seeing difficulties being worked out. We are seeing, and if you say you don't see them, sit down and write them out. Write the blessings that you see Yahweh working out, having worked out in the past for you, and even today. And then remember the promises of what the promises are for those that love Yahweh. They are extensive, they are numerous, they are out of this world, quite literally. And so we need to prioritize and think about these things, make sure our focus is correct. For our home is a heavenly home in the coming New Jerusalem. It is for all those who love Yahweh and do his will and Yahshua the Messiah. This is the lesson and application for us today. We are to learn from ancient Israel and be the Israel today that Yahweh expects us to be, an obedient and faithful people, a believing people. Revelation 14, and we'll close with this, Revelation 14, 12 through 13. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of Yahweh and their faith in Yahshua. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Master from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Hallelujah. May Yahweh bless you as well.